Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us. You take your Bible with me, go to the New Testament, and let's turn to the book of Colossians tonight. Colossians chapter 4. You're turning there. Let me say just thank you for the meals. I think somebody fed me a heavy meal hoping I wouldn't preach as long tonight. I'm not saying there was an ulterior motive, but if that's the case, you go ahead and feed away, because I tell you, we've eaten like kings. I just appreciate it so very, very much. Appreciate the good spirit, the services yesterday, the music. I would wholeheartedly agree with you, Pastor, and just it's good to be around people that sing songs that have a real message, and I'm glad tonight to know that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm not saved by my works. I'm glad I'm not saved by something I've done. I'm glad that I'm not kept by my own works either. I'm kept by His power. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth. Colossians chapter 4 tonight. I want to read a couple of verses and then we'll pray, get into our thoughts for this evening. Colossians chapter 4. You look with me as I begin reading in verse number 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Our Father, tonight, it is a great privilege to be gathered here. Father, we thank you for the music and how our hearts have been encouraged, how we've been blessed, and our attention has been pointed towards heaven. God, we're so grateful for that tonight. Dear Lord, we know that if all we came was for the song service, then it would be worth coming and be worth gathering together. But Father, we know that you've ordained preaching, and we know that you have a purpose with the delivering of your word. And God, I pray tonight that you help me. I pray even now that you'd calm my nerves, clear my speech, and Father, you just help me tonight to get across that which you want for us as your people. Father, pray that you'd find receptive hearts tonight. Your word would go forth and bring forth fruit that might glorify and honor you. God, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it as we ask it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so very, very much. You may be seated. As we come tonight and look at the book of Colossians as a whole, at this time we find that the Apostle Paul is a missionary sent out from under the authority of the church at Antioch, and he is writing essentially a prayer letter, if you would, to the church at Colossae. Now it's interesting to note tonight that Paul didn't start this church. Paul didn't have a hand in personally seeing this church come to fruition. We aren't definitively told from the Bible exactly who started this church. We're given an indication, and I wouldn't be dogmatic about it tonight, but there is an indication according to chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 12 of the book of Colossians that a man by the name of Epaphras had a hand in seeing this church built and started. And yet, despite the fact that Paul didn't start it, according to chapter 1 and verse 4, we find that he heard about this church's faith. And can I tell you tonight, it's a good thing when a church's testimony goes forth and people not only from the community but further reaching from that have heard about what that church's faith is and their walk with God and their testimony. I'm just telling you tonight, it's a great blessing to have a testimony that reaches far above what we could do, that stands for the Lord and says, hey, these people are a people of faith. And so Paul hears that. Paul hears about this church and how they have trusted the Lord and they're walking in faith and they got a love for all the saints. And so as Paul begins to conclude upon this particular epistle, he begins to request of this church something that's greatly important to him, something that's needful, something he wants them to do. And I want you to think about a missionary with me tonight, especially the Apostle Paul, and of all the things that he could have requested, Of all the things that no doubt he probably had a need for and could have used and could have benefited him on the mission field and the work of God, he could have asked for a whole lot of things. Okay, for instance, tonight he could have asked for money. I know nobody likes to talk about money, and I don't like preaching on money. I'll just be real honest with you. But it's nonetheless a truth and a reality that it does take money to make things work and to go. And Paul was a busy man in the work of God. He was often traveling with a great entourage and a crowd of people, and he was forever trying to send them here and do things over there. And Paul could have used the finances. He said one time to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, he said, "Nobody communicated with me as giving and receiving, but ye only." And at that time, the Apostle Paul was not what we would consider a newbie on the mission field. He was a seasoned missionary. He was a veteran, if we could say it that way. He wasn't somebody just starting out that nobody had heard of or nobody knew of, and so his support kind of hadn't gotten to par yet. The truth of it is, the church at Philippi was the only one at that time that supported him, and he could have used the finances. He says later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he apologized to the church at Corinth for not holding them accountable when it comes to finances and them contributing to the work of God. I'm just telling you, Paul could have used the money, and it would have been understandable for him to write to this particular church and say, "Hey, I've heard about your faith, and I heard about your love for the saints of God, and if God would lead you and you could help, then it would be greatly appreciated in a financial realm." But he doesn't mention that. He doesn't even mention a request from this church for them to send laborers. I've already mentioned tonight that the Apostle Paul was a busy man. He was not some idle person that just kind of stood around and twiddled his thumbs. He was a constant, busy individual in the work of God. And my friend, we find that he was often sending this person to go over here, and he was sending them with letters here and offering over there. He himself would often go to a particular city, and he would leave people here, and he said, "Hey, I'll meet you when we get over there." He was a busy, busy individual in the work of God. And I don't think I'm off grounds tonight that saying Paul would have known how to use some more laborers and employ them in the work of God. I mean, after all, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, chapter 9, verse 38, that we're to pray for laborers. We're to pray for laborers that God would give them and send them. And of all the things that Paul could have asked for, he doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for laborers. Here's what he asked for. What resided upon Paul's heart to this particular church, from a missionary to a church, he said, "Listen, if you could pray for me." Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Is money needed for missions? Yes. Are laborers needed for missions? Yes. But can I tell you the greatest need a missionary has tonight, beyond just the dollar signs and the personnel to get the job done? There is a need from missionaries, and what weighs upon their heart, especially the Apostle Paul in this passage tonight, is that God's people would pray for the work of God and for them as they serve the Lord. Paul requests, his greatest need, what is laid upon his heart and what he's asking from this congregation, is that they would pray in regards to missions. Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want us to look at this thought, a missionary's greatest need. And I want to deal with this subject of praying in regards to missions. Because here's the great thing. I told you when we started yesterday morning that, Lord willing, this week we're going to focus in on a lot of our personal responsibility and the things that God would have us to do. And the great thing is that every single church member can get involved in a missionary's greatest need, and you can participate in this idea of going to the throne of grace and getting a hold of God and asking God to work and do what only God can do on behalf of His men and His work. And so all of us ought to perk up a little bit. If this is a missionary's greatest need, and I'm capable of being able to help tonight, then we ought to see what it is and listen to the realm of what God would say through the Apostle Paul here to you and I tonight. I want to call your attention, first of all, to the importance of prayer. Now, I know this may sound like a no-brainer. Well, preacher, of course prayer is important. But, you know, we need to be reminded of that. I don't know how you are, but sometimes in serving the Lord, we can get busy about things. We can be doing this and we can be doing that. And it's easy, if we're not careful, to let our prayer time slip and say, well, I'll get back to it and I'll try to make up for it and that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you tonight, my friend, as much as the Bible emphasizes the importance of prayer, if we're not careful, it's one of the things that we let slip before we do anything else. And yet Paul says to this church, I need you to pray for me. But do you know what he told this church was not unique only to this church? Paul was often found writing in his epistles to different congregations and imploring of them to be able to pray for him and the work of God. Let's take our Bibles tonight and look at a couple of verses. I hope you'll be all right with that. Let's look over in Romans chapter 15. Go over to Romans chapter 15. We'll look at a verse or two tonight, and I'll quote a couple of them to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes to that church at Thessalonica and says, hey, pray for us and our helpers. But look what he says with me in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, here's what he says. I'll get there in just a moment. You're probably already there. Romans 15, look what it says in verse number 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Do you hear what he said? You strive together with me. You fight along beside me. No, this is a spiritual battle, trying to be able to serve God. We're not just, you know, sitting around and doing nothing. We are called soldiers in the Lord's army. And my friend, we can get beside each other. You may never go to Western Australia. You may never go to Chile. You may never go to Papua New Guinea or China or Russia or to some other foreign country or even parts of our own nation. But I tell you tonight, you can fight along right beside some of the men of God as you strive together with them in prayer and asking God to do what only God can do. And so we find very clearly that Paul says, hey, let we strive together. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, ye also helping together by prayer. You understand that it's more than just the dollar that makes us partners in the work of God? Partners pray for one another. We're praying that God will help Brother Pittman in the work. We're honored as a church to be able to partnership with Calvary Baptist Church and the Pittmans in the country of Chile. And I'm telling you, we're praying and we're partners in this thing, not just because of the check that we send every month and that kind of stuff, but we're partners because we pray together about this. Go to 1 Timothy. Chapter number 2 tonight. You're turning there. Let me read you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says this, praying also with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul, time after time after time, is found in his writings employing God's churches for prayer for the work that God has given him. Here's what he tells a young pastor who's pastoring in Ephesus at this time. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all. Now that's an interesting phrase. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That term, first of all, isn't a sequence word. It's not, well, you got to pray first before you do anything else. The idea when he says prayer that is to be made first of all, I exhort you first of all, and then he lists these prayers, first of all is a priority issue. More than we need a lot of things, we need prayer. We could do probably without some things on our schedule. I told you the other morning, I'm grateful for the activities and the events and the things that God leads and the programs that a church might hold and do to minister to its own people and its surrounding community. But my friend, sometimes if we need to be able to put those things off the schedule, we could probably do with a lot less programs and a whole lot more prayer tonight from God's people. In Acts chapter 6, what is often referred to in that chapter as when the church at Jerusalem chose deacons, the apostles are there and they said, listen, it's not for us to wait tables and have to deal with some of these menial tasks. And these men weren't so proud that they couldn't wait and they couldn't serve and they couldn't do those things. He said, here's the problem. If we get so caught up in all these things, it's taken away from us from the Word of God and from prayer. And I'm just telling you tonight, there is an importance that needs to be impressed upon God's people. We're living in a day and age, and I know that I don't need to camp here, and I don't need to waste time, but may I tell you, we're living in days where people have lost their mind, and there's wickedness all around us. And my friend, the only thing that's going to make a difference in our world is Jesus Christ. We need to be praying. There's an importance of prayer. But notice back in our passage in Colossians chapter 4. And notice not just with me the importance of prayer, but notice with me, if you would, the involvement in prayer. Because here's what Paul says. Paul comes and he writes and he's beginning to close this particular epistle. And as he's drawing his letter to a conclusion, he doesn't say, hey, would you start praying? Hey, would you go ahead and if you find time, could you absolutely mention me and when you begin to pray? He doesn't say that. He says, continue in prayer. Remember, he had heard of their faith. And Paul was convinced to the church, though he had never personally met them, according to his own writings here, though he had not met them, he had heard of their faith, and he was convinced anybody that has a testimony of faith like they do is going to already be involved in prayer. Here's what he says in verse number 3. He says in verse 2, continue in prayer. Then he says this in verse 3. With all, praying also for us. That word with all there is a word which means at the same time or together with. You know what he says? While you're praying for your needs and your concerns and your desires, and while you're praying for your church and your outreach and your ministry and the things that are going on there, when you're praying and you're going to the throne of grace, would you pray for me together with your prayers? Would you pray for me at the same time?
He is not wasting his time trying to ask somebody to start praying. Here's a missionary going to somebody that he believes is already praying. And he says, while you're praying, pray for me at the same time. You say, preacher, what's your point? Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to pray for our missionaries and the ministries of reaching people with the gospel in our world today, then let's be real honest. Don't you love it when a preacher says that? It's like everything he said before then, it's not honest. But to be blunt, if we could use it, that's maybe a better term. We're not going to pray for missionaries and those we've never laid eyes on if we're not praying for our own ministries. No. You can go ahead and act spiritual tonight and we could put on a show and a facade, but the truth of it is, if we're not praying for that which we're a part of and for the souls that are around us and those like our neighbors and our co-workers and that kind of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, we're truly not going to be praying with the fervency and the desire that we ought to be for those we've never seen and we've never laid eyes on. And if we did, at best, it would make us a hypocrite tonight. I'm not trying to be judgmental or trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you, when Paul says this, he doesn't say start praying. He writes to a church because he has a need on his heart. And he's asking them, hey, continue in prayer and with all praying also for us. In other words, when you're praying for the things that you're concerned about and trying to make sure that you're doing your job in the work of God and getting God involved in your ministry and your outreach and your evangelism, hey, go ahead and mention me along the way at the same time. And I wonder tonight, if missionaries knew us personally tonight by name, would they ask for you and I to pray for them? It really is something to be asked to go to God on somebody else's behalf. It's an honor. It's a privilege. If we're not careful, we're so flippant sometimes. Say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. We're so quick to say it. And I wonder in our hearts and being real and genuine before the Lord, are we really doing what we ought to in this realm? If I had a critical need tonight, I had a terminal illness, if one of my children were sick or my wife had cancer of some sort, I'm going to try to find and get a hold of those that I believe have an avenue with God. And I'm going to go to them and I'm going to ask them. I'm not going to waste my time and go talk to somebody and ask them to pray when I don't think they're already involved in prayer. Paul's got a need here. And he's asking for the church to pray for him. We see the importance of prayer. We see the involvement in prayer. Now here's what I want to spend a moment or two on. And that's the instructions for prayer. Because here's what he says. Verse number 3, he says, with all praying also for us that. Don't you just love the thoroughness of the Bible? Amen. I just don't understand that Bible. It's so hard to read. Well, I mean, if you just look at it, Paul's pretty clear here. I want you to pray for me while you're praying for yourself. And I'm asking that you pray, and he gives them instructions on what he wants them to pray about. You ever thought about your missionaries, not just the ones that are out of Calvary Baptist, but those that you support financially and part of your mission program? You ever thought about the fact of what they need you to pray about? I think if we're not careful, sometimes we're so generic in our prayers. Oh, God, bless our missionaries. Okay. How? In what way? I know God oversees and knows what they need before they ask. But I'm also familiar with verses like it says, we have not because we ask not. So what is it they need? Can I give you some practical things about what missionaries need tonight? We talked yesterday, and the brother was talking during Sunday school time about making a list and that kind of stuff. I'm just going to give you some things tonight that are very practical, and I won't chase all the Bible verses and that kind of stuff, but that come to deal with this issue of what your missionaries need. Can I tell you, first of all, you ought to pray for their faith. They got to trust the Lord. They got to know that God is leading them and directing them. My friend, we together that are here stateside a lot of times that grow up around our church and in our church, we have each other and that kind of stuff. When missionaries go off the field, often they're the only ones and they're starting from scratch and they got to know. I mean, my friend, we're living in a world where the devil is real and they'll camp on their doorstep and the missionary needs to know that God put them there or they're not going to make it and they're not going to last. Most missionaries, it's one thing for them to live by faith of their own. It's a whole other ballgame sometimes to live by the faith and generosity of others. Okay, some of you will get that later. It's sometimes difficult. Missionaries didn't go to the field. I despise this idea that somehow missionaries go to the field and that kind of stuff because they couldn't hack it or they couldn't cut it being a pastor and they couldn't do that in the States and so they go to the foreign field and that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, my friend, some of the most godly, some of the most spiritual people have given their lives as missionaries to serve God on the foreign field. You ought to pray for their faith. You ought to pray for their foundation. I wish sometimes I wouldn't do it and those things, but I've thought about it. I've thought about recording sometimes some of the conversations that I get when missionaries call and ask for an appointment and that kind of stuff. If I don't know their church and those things, I'll usually ask them some doctrinal questions, just trying to figure out where they are and what their positions is. And I'm telling you, I've been literally shocked by some of the answers. I was talking to a missionary going to Israel some years ago, and I asked him, I said, well, brother, I don't know you, I don't know your church. I said, let me ask you a couple questions. I was interested in Israel and those things. And I said, let me ask you some questions if I can. I said, what do you believe about the church? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, all right, that could be a pretty broad subject. So I said, well, what do you believe? Do you believe it's local? Do you believe it's universal? What's your position on the church? He said, I don't know. I've never been asked that. I said, how long have you been on deputation, brother? He said, about 3 years. I was shocked, frustrated with his church for sending somebody that doesn't know what they're going to the field to do. Okay, that can be carnal, I'm sorry. But I'm just telling you. We have this. Sometimes we take for granted what we have in our churches and what we've been around and that kind of stuff. We've got a lot of guys going to the field. I was told by a pastor years ago, a dear friend of mine is a mentor to me, and he said, Brother Taylor, get around preachers and just ask them how they got saved. He said, and be prepared to be flabbergasted. I'm not trying to be ugly or judgmental, but I'm telling you tonight, we better pray for their foundation. We better pray for their faith. Let me also tell you tonight, we ought to pray for their family. Often when a missionary goes to the foreign field, he is just busy, busy, busy. He has inadequate family time. Sometimes his wife can feel neglected. His children can get rebellious and resentful. And I'm just telling you, in a world where the missionary ought to be giving not just his own life, but his family as a testimony of what God does and what God wants and what a family ought to be, sometimes our missionaries and what they're dealing with inside their own home home, I can tell you it's a very serious issue. Absolutely. We ought to pray for their fitness, their health. If you've ever been to a third world country, it'll make you appreciate hospitals and doctors in the United States. I'm gripe about socialized medicine and all the things that have been implemented in recent years in our country and that kind of stuff. But I'm just going to tell you, we got one of the best health care facilities and things available to us in this country. And sometimes missionaries go to the foreign field and they have things. And they're better off just being sick than trying to go to a hospital and what they're dealing with there. You ought to pray for their flesh. Missionaries on their best day are still men. And they've got a flesh. And I've known a lot of missionaries over the years, unfortunately, have gone to the field and got caught up into something they shouldn't have. And their flesh got the best of them, their temper, their lust. Those are things that will get a hold to them. And you ought to pray that God will build a hedge about them and protect them and keep their flesh at bay. Let me tell you tonight, you ought to pray for their finances. Oh, come on. Their finances. Often, a missionary will spend a year or two or a little more on deputation trying to raise support and that kind of stuff. He'll get to the field. And because of the volatile economic system, not just in this country, but worldwide, and sometimes they'll lose within just a matter of days, they'll lose a big percentage of their own support. God, pray for them. It's a balance to go to a mission field and have the support needed, and at the same time, not try to feel like you're living in some third world country as a king. We ought to pray for fruit. That God will give fruit. Not just souls. Fruit. Fruit lasts. And a missionary's desire is to go to a field and watch God build something. Watch God raise up some men and families and watch people get saved, and then thereby some of those men end up surrendering to God, and watch that missionary be able to train them for the work of the Lord and start a church and watch God do things. I'm telling you, the missionary's desire is that God will build something that'll outlast his lifetime, and if God were to call him home to have to come back to the States, whatever God built would last because it's built upon the right things and not on the missionary or his dollar. Need to pray for his frustration. Culture shock. I read an article the other day that says a quarter of all missionaries that come back from the mission field come home strictly. Now, this isn't the only reason, but a quarter of them come strictly home because they cannot adapt to a foreign culture. Do you know that everybody's not like us? I know it shocked me. I couldn't believe it. Not everybody thinks like we do. Not everybody has the same mentality, the same likes, the same dislikes. I said it to you the other morning. There's not just culture within geographical areas, but there's culture differences within generations themselves right here in this country. And it's frustrating. Okay, it's frustrating for me. It's frustrating to deal with people that don't think like me. If they would think like me, they would have it right. That's my opinion. Kidding. I'd pray for their fears. It can be a fearful thing to step outside the confines of this country. This past summer, We have missionaries out of our church that are in the country of Papua New Guinea, and we took a group of young people. I have no idea what insanity I was thinking, but we took a group of young people. We ended up getting caught in some of the wonderful airport stuff, and that's a long story. We got in and to the capital city of Papua New Guinea in Port Moresby. Missed a flight, actually got bumped off a flight, but anyhow, we had to stay overnight and do some things in a rough part of the city. And we got into a van, we were driving, and Pastor, I said, "What? This is how people are never seen again. People disappear in white vans just like this one." I said, "Y'all been watching way too much television." But there's fear. There's uncertainty. They live within that. You ought to pray for their flame, their revival, their fire, their zeal. You know that discouragement is contagious? It's contagious. And when you let it set into your own heart, it can get a hold of you and have a real negative effect on that which God's trying to do and what God wants to do. Can I tell you, along the way, you also ought to pray for their fellowship. I said this a little bit earlier ago. Sometimes we take for granted what we have. Listen to me. I want to make a statement tonight. I am all for, I believe that the church services ought to revolve around the preaching, and there's nothing that will replace the preaching of the Word of God. But can I tell you that church isn't just only about preaching. There is a need for fellowship among God's people. We're created that way. We're created for the very purpose and need of fellowship. We need one another. Often when the missionary goes to the field, he, him, and his family's it. And there's a real sense of loneliness. Now, I will tell you, I'm thankful for modern technology. As much as I hate social media, and I pray that God would take it out every day, I'd like to go back to analog. I pray for that. Amen. Facebook is a... But I will say this. Some of that modern technology helps us stay contacted and connected in those things. You ought to pray for your missionaries. You ought to pray for their furlough. Paul, in Acts chapter 15, came home and reported. It's a wonderful thing. It's needful. It's a biblical pattern for a missionary to go to the field and spend terms and those things and then come home to his church and to his supporting churches and report about the great things that God is doing. You know how many missionaries have been discouraged because of furlough? His church that he left is not what it once was. Supporting churches have lost any kind of concern for lost souls and getting the gospel out. They've gone contemporary, dropped standards, and gone modern. I'm telling you, that's disheartening to a missionary. We expect our missionaries to go to the field and be what they said they were going to be when we sent them and do their job. But can I tell you, a missionary has the right to expect his church to keep their standards and their zeal and their fervency for the things of God as well. I ought to pray for them. It's not an easy task. What God has for them is a path that's an exciting path. It's amazing the fact that God would use them in the way that he does. But I'm telling you tonight, you may never go physically to the mission field where they are, but you can strive together with them. You can be a helper and a partner in prayer. Paul says, continue in prayer. With all, praying also for us. We've seen the importance of prayer. We've seen tonight the involvement in prayer. We see the instructions for prayer. Go back to our passage tonight and look with me in Colossians chapter 4. Because here's what we see. We see the impact from prayer. Here's what he says. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray that God will open a door. Pray that God will give an avenue, an opening, in order to reach this particular person. Ask that God will give us a way into this particular community or this particular area, or God will lead and guide and direct. I'm telling you, my friend, by praying, the impact of prayer, there's nothing like praying to the sovereign God of the heavens and watching Him work and opening things that only can be contributed to Him. Prayer will open countries that are closed. I know where I am tonight, and I know where this church stands and your pastor, and I'm absolutely on board, and I appreciate the fact that, hey, we don't need parachurch organizations and those kind of things. The Lord has chosen His house to do His work. I was involved several years ago in a full-time prison ministry and was doing some things, and there was a prison organization that I was familiar with and full of independent Baptists and more like a mission board and those things. And one of the directors on the mission board said, "Hey, Brother Taylor," he said, "you realize you qualify to be one of our missionaries?" I said, "Brother, I appreciate your heart." I said, "But I'm not interested. I don't believe in that. We just go through our church." He said, "Oh, Brother Taylor, you need to understand something." He said, "Our mission board will open doors that your church won't open." I said, "Brother, I tried to be nice. But last time I read my Bible, it wasn't a mission board. It wasn't even a church that opens doors. It's God that opens doors. And we're just better doing things God's way." And so, I'm just telling you, it'll open up countries. I know missionaries today that are serving in communist countries. And preacher, how'd that happen? God. God wants you there. God calls you. God will open the door and make a way and do that. And it's a wonderful thing to watch God do that. I've watched God open up hearts, my friend, of people that otherwise would have never given the gospel an opportunity. Several years ago, we were preaching in prison. I was going to tell you that's where I met your pastor one time. I figure I better not do that. I was preaching in prison. We ended up in a work release unit right outside of our town, and we were able to bring some guys from the facility to church through some things, and we'd sit them over to the side with me and that kind of stuff. And I was preaching one night. Chris Milan walked the aisle and got saved, and he said, "Brother Taylor, I can't believe it." He said, 10 years of incarceration was worth every moment of it for me to come to Christ." Amen. Now, let me tell you about Chris. Chris spent his last days as a free man in an 8-hour standoff with the Tulsa County Sheriff's Department. He took a pump shotgun as they were breaching the doors of his home where he was holed up, and he took a pump shotgun right under his chin and he pulled the trigger twice and it never went off. Pump shotgun hardly ever malfunctions in that way. And Chris told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I know that God's got something for me. Chris got out. Got to participate in his wedding. Watch him do something. I'm just telling you tonight that prayer will open up hearts, open up lives, open up countries. Wow, preacher, prayer isn't really that important. Oh, it's not just important, it's impactful. There's a lot of people that are sitting right here in this room that are a product of somebody praying on their behalf. Tonight, the wonderful thing is you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be saved for 20 plus years. You can be brand new saved and get into this issue of prayer. Get a hold of God and be a partner with missionaries all over the world. Amen. Paul says, hey, man, I need you to pray for me. I wonder tonight, as you and I think about this subject of prayer in regards to missions, how involved are we really? First of all, how much are we praying for our own church and for your pastor and for the work and the outreach and the ministries that are here? I don't know you personally in a lot of areas. I'm just asking a question tonight because I need to ask myself that same question. How involved am I praying? Because Paul's writing to a church. And he says that very clearly, with all praying also for us. So maybe tonight we just need to take a step back and start evaluating some things. Where am I in regards to praying for my own church? For my involvement? For these things that God would have of me? Then I'd ask you in regards to missions and Brother Pittman, Brother Carr, others out of this church, the missionaries you help support financially in partnership, they need you to pray for. One of the greatest things we could do tonight is commit ourselves, Lord, I'm going to get serious about this issue. We'll try to get a hold of you. And I'm going to pray for our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Lord, help me to pray in regards to missions. Let's stand tonight, our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How's your prayer life tonight? Maybe you'd be here tonight and you'd say, you know what, I'm not praying like I ought to. Maybe you need to commit yourself to really getting a hold of God and be serious about these areas. Missionary prayer letters and prayer requests will never be nothing more than a formality or something we hang on a wall if we don't get serious about how real prayer is. Are you praying tonight like you ought to? Are you praying for yourself and your involvement, for your coworkers, for your family, your neighbors? The missionary's greatest need is that the churches would pray